The Ladies of the House by Molly McGran. Read by Imogen Church. Prologue. It was a minor item in the newspaper, her last English newspaper, or the last one she would read on English soil. Just the kind of headline to draw her eye. Three found dead in North London. And then their names. Police were alerted after a woman collapsed outside a home in Primrose Hill and was declared dead at the scene, despite all efforts to revive her. Two more bodies were found inside the house. Neighbours said there were no suspicious circumstances to report, except that they were all dead, all at once. Given the recent high temperatures around the country, such a dry, hot July, the barley blackened, the corn stunted, hens not laying right, early discovery of their bodies was a relief, for the smell of lingering death was not sweet, not a fairy tale ending.
"Unfortunately, there was nothing to be done," said a police spokesman.
Other heat-related fatalities had been reported, and the hospitals were said to be overflowing. Marie Gillies had forgotten to breathe. When she did breathe, the feeling of doing so was unfamiliar, as if she had to think to do it. Briefly, she feared she might always have to think about breathing. How would she cope? And when she went to sleep at night, what would happen then? They were dead. Heathrow swarmed around her. She thought she would burst with the news, but there was no one to tell in the busy terminal. No way to explain that three people she knew, well, she did not know them, had never met them, but she had spoken to them on the phone. Quite a lot on the phone. Now, they were dead. They were gone. It must have been the heat, nothing to do with her. Marie stood up. Her hands wanted to be busy. She would have done a bit of tidying given the chance, or folded linens into identical squares, cleared out a cupboard, put the ornaments in order, swept the floor, made a cup of tea. The best she could do was go and wash. Her hands were sticky with newsprint. She hated that dusty feeling blunting her fingertips. But where in the vast hall was the toilet? There. In the distance, she had to squint to see, was a sign. The usual symbols with an arrow. A big walk for someone in her 50s, clinically obese, whose new shoes were giving her a blister.
"It was the bloomin' heat that killed them,"
Marie murmured, stuffing the newspaper into her handbag. She set off across the terminal, panting all the way. No doubt they had turned up the fire too. Daft and old as they were, cups of tea going cold upon their knees, biscuits melting into the dregs, mouths agape, fetid breath whistling out. She knew the smell of old people, the cellar scent that slept in the folds of their clothes and behind their ears.
"It was the heat,"
Marie said once more, aloud, to be sure. She was not accustomed to travelling. She had been dazzled at first by the hard white light of the airport and stopped in the middle of everything, taking it in. So many encumbered passengers bumping into one another, stopping and starting, no clear path through the crowd, the terminal blocked by bags and trolleys and families trying to stay together. Marie clung to her boarding card. She had never been anywhere. Her passport was safely zipped away in a nylon sack that hung around her neck, under her blouse, slapping her belly as she stopped and started with the rest of them. Her handbag was brand new, stinking of freshly tanned hide, and she had another bag to carry as well, packed with her toothbrush and a change of clothes and some baby wipes in case they lost her suitcase. Now she really needed the toilet. And she wanted to get her jumper off, boiling she was. But how would she manage that with her bags to tend to and a boarding card ready to produce at all times? It was too much for Marie. There was hysteria in Britain over unattended luggage, but really she must drop something,